Here this morning, if you have a Bible with you, I hope that you will take it out and open it. If you have an electronic device that has a Bible app on it, if you will take that out, be making your way to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we're going to begin this morning. Matthew chapter 5. Al's already read a couple of verses from that chapter for us this morning. We're going to be focusing on one verse from Matthew chapter 5 this morning. That's where our entire sermon is going to be based on. And we'll begin there here in just a moment. About 500 years before Christ walked on the earth, the Romans already had an intricate network of roads in place. And those roads still stand, many of them, today. And along those roads, just like we have on our interstate system, they had mile markers. And they marked those miles along those roads. Again, many of those mile markers still standing today. About the year 550 BC, a man by the name of Cyrus the Great, he was the leader of the Persian Empire. He started something that basically was the beginnings of our modern day postal system. And what he did was he set couriers at each of these mile markers along the roads. And when something needed to be sent from one place to another, he sent those things from one courier to the other. And that way, no man or no horse was ever too tired to make the journey. Those things just went from one to the other down the line. And the Romans adopted something that was kind of similar to that. They put into law that any government official or any soldier who was traveling on the road, when they came upon someone, it didn't matter if they were a foreigner or if they were local, they could impose upon them to carry whatever load they had. Whatever load that government official or soldier had, they could make you carry it for 1 mile. Essentially, you would go from one mile marker to the next, carrying that load for that person. This was still occurring 500 years later during the time of Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus says this. He says, "Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2." See, Jesus was familiar with this practice. This practice that this government official or this soldier could make you go with them for that mile. Didn't matter which direction you were headed. Didn't matter what you were doing. You stopped and you did as they asked. Jesus encourages us to not just go that 1 mile, but go with them 2. You have references in your Bible, you probably have a reference of verse 41 there to one of three passages. Matthew chapter 27, about verse 32 there. Mark chapter 15, down around verse 21. Or Luke chapter 23, about verse 26. And all those reference the same occurrence, and that is this law being put into action. There's a man there by the name of Simon the Cyrene. And Scripture tells us that he carried the cross of Christ. Versions like the NIV say that they forced him. Many versions like the New King James and the King James say that they compelled him to carry Christ's cross. This morning, I would like for us to think about being a two-miler, having a two-mile attitude as we go through life. Many people, we just want to have that one-mile rule that we abide by, right? We want to know what is the least amount I can do and still be okay. To still get approval from God, what's the least that I can do? I'd like for us to start right here inside this building this morning. Now I'd like for us to think about Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It's a verse that you are very familiar with, no matter where you attend church. If you're there for more than a month, you're going to hear this verse quoted or read or referenced. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some." Come to church. Sometimes I think we abide by that 1 mile rule. And we come because we have to. Because some member of our family or our spouse or some friend or God expects us to be here. And sometimes I wonder what it is we're looking for when we feel that way. We've all felt that way at some point, probably. I wonder if we're just looking for a simple congratulations. You made it to church. Way to go. Is that what we're looking for? I would certainly hope not. We want to be here. We want to fellowship together. We want to encourage one another. We want to benefit from being here. And we could spend our entire time today talking about the acts of worship and the things that we do while we're here. And we'll spend just a few moments thinking about that. You know, as we go through these different topics this morning, what we want to do is focus on ourselves. I'd like for each of us to think about where I am. Am I abiding by the 1 mile rule? Or do I have the 2 mile attitude that God wants me to have? What about when it comes to teaching and preaching? What do we do? What do we concern ourselves with? When it comes to the point in our worship where that's what we focus on. Maybe it's during Bible class or during the sermon portion of our worship service. What's our focus? And are we focused? Are we paying attention? Are we trying to learn? Are we turning to Scripture that a teacher calls out? Are we trying to benefit? Or are we just there? Are we just there because we have to be? Do we have the attitude of going above and beyond, trying to obtain more knowledge so that we can better serve God? What about when we sing? Do we? You know, that 1 mile rule applies to singing. It applies to praying. It applies to everything that we do here. There are minimums. I once heard a preacher say that the minimum, the least a Christian can do is come to church, is to be here. That's the least we can do in our service to God. Is that how we're living? When the congregation sings together, do we participate? When the congregation prays together, do we listen to the man that's praying, that's leading that prayer? Do we actively pray along with him? Or do we look around? We think about other things and not really pay attention to what's being said. What about when it comes time to give? Here in just a little while, we'll have an opportunity to give back to God. We focus time on that. Many times we have a prayer specifically for that opportunity that we have to give back to God. How do we live? How do we act when it comes time to give back? Do we live by the 1 mile rule? Do we try to think in our minds, what's the least I could do? What's the least amount I could give and God would still be pretty okay with that amount? We ask God continually for blessings and for things to help us. But are we cheerful when we have opportunity to give back? To give back to Him so that we can help spread the borders of His kingdom? Do we have a 2 mile attitude? And what about when we gather around the table? To call into remembrance the sacrifice that was made for us. Can we focus? Can we put the cares of this world out of our minds? It's difficult sometimes. We have so much going on in our life and we have so much that we have to get to this afternoon. And it's the very last thing we do right before we leave. And so we're already thinking about, you know, I've got to get home and get the yard cut this afternoon and I've got to finish up that homework that I hadn't done yet and I've got this long week of work ahead of me. But that's what gets us through. Remembering the sacrifice that Christ made for us. That's what gets us through until the next week. Putting that remembrance in our mind of the things that was done, the things that were done for us. Do we just want to abide by the 1 mile rule? Do we just want to do the bare minimum in every act of worship? Just enough to get that check mark by our name to say, yes, I participated. I was there. I did it. Or do we want to go above and beyond? Do we want to be better? Because we know that when we go out into the world, people see us. We can be an example to them. We can be example to people here. And people see us here. There's people sitting next to you now. And you're influencing them. And they're influencing you. The way that we participate this morning will have some influence over someone. Do we have the 2 mile attitude towards that? But what else? What other ways? Well, let's think about forgiveness for a moment. You know, Peter asked a question that I think embodies this whole idea. And I think we too want the answer that Peter is looking for in Matthew chapter 18. Verses 21 and 22, it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'I dare not say to you up to 7 times, but to 70 times 7. That is 1 mile rule attitude imprint. How many times is somebody going to come to me and ask for forgiveness and I've actually got to give it to them? I need a number. Do we feel that way? Do we feel like, hey, I need to know. I need to know how many times someone asks for forgiveness that I have to say, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do that. No, Jesus again shows this 2 mile rule. We go above and beyond. And we see that sincerity in that person's heart. Knowing that they're trying to overcome whatever difficulty it is in their life. Whatever problem it is that they're struggling with, whatever it is that they're asking for forgiveness for, or for hope or help in. How would we feel if God just abided by the 1 mile rule. Back in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Have you ever wondered how many times God might think the same thing? How many times are you going to do the same exact thing? How many times am I going to have to forgive you? You know that it's wrong. I've reached my 7 times. What if God only went by the 1 mile rule? On the opposite side of that is repentance. To get forgiveness, we have to be willing to admit that we've done something wrong. We have to be willing to admit that we want to change, and we have to actively do that. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, though that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" You think about wanting to change and wanting to do better, wanting others to forgive us, wanting God to forgive us. The 1 mile rule in thinking there is I'm going to do the bare minimum. See, I've already died to sin. I've already been baptized. I'm already a Christian. I don't have to do anything else, do I? Can't I continue to live this way? I've already done it once. I shouldn't have to repent again, should I? I shouldn't have to ask for forgiveness again. The 2 mile attitude says, "I understand. And I understand that I give in to temptation. I understand that I sin. And I understand that I'm going to have to continue to work on who I am. And I'm going to have to continue to try to improve myself." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us approach God boldly, not saying, "What I did, there's nothing wrong with it." No, we're approaching boldly saying, "I have sinned. And I know it. And I know the things that I've done are wrong. And I know that I need to change." And I want help. I want forgiveness. What about spiritual growth? You know, so often in church, maybe not for you, but for me, sometimes we get in a routine, and it's not just church, it's everywhere, but it can absolutely happen here. We get in a routine of what we do. We come in and we sit in the same spot. Maybe we walk back to Bible class for a little while, and then we come back out here, and we're going to sing 2 songs, and there's going to be a guy get up and read some scripture, and then there's going to be another guy that's going to say a prayer, and then the preacher's going to be up there, and then we're going to do Lord's Supper, another prayer song, gone. And sometimes I think we get into that routine, and it's not difficult for us to just go through the motions. And the same can be true in our spiritual growth. As we study together, sometimes we just go through the motions. Sometimes we just let whoever is teaching the class or presenting a sermon, just let them do their thing. And we'll just sit back and we don't have to do anything. Do you ever feel like that? I know that I do. And I'm sure that you do as well. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If everything we did, we received the reward for it, then where would we be? We have salvation as a reward for living in obedience to God. But He wants us to continue to grow. You go over a couple of chapters to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 there. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." We need to continue to grow because we, at some point, will have an opportunity to teach someone else. We shouldn't just live by that 1 mile rule. I'm just going to do the bare minimum. I can go to class, but I don't know that I'll participate. I'll make sure that I show up for worship, but I can't be expected to do more than that. When we think about the 1 mile rule and the 2 mile attitude, we have to understand that when we go into the world, we're setting an example for someone. We're setting an example for someone right here, and we're setting an example for someone in the world. Paul told Timothy that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in everything that you do, Timothy. I realize that you're young and that you're leading this church and that people are trying to discredit you because of your youth. But understand that this isn't just the 1 mile rule. This is the 2 mile attitude that I want you to have in everything you do, in the life that you live, because of the people that you're influencing on a daily basis." What we come to realize is that when Jesus makes this statement in Matthew chapter 5, what He's talking about is our effort and the things that we do on a daily basis, the way that we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Paul here talking to the Corinthians, talking about going above and beyond. Going beyond your abilities. And how is that possible? It's possible when we have that 2 mile attitude. When we're always trying to improve. When we're trying to do better than we've done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. Paul there says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Always abounding. The work that we do, it's always abounding. It's abundant. It's plentiful. There's excess in the work that we do. That's the 2 mile attitude. I'm going to do more than what's been asked of me. I'm going to do extra even when it's not expected. I'm going to try to be a better person going forward than I have been in the past. But why? Because our labor is not in vain. We serve a powerful God. A God that has, or that wants, obedience. One that wants obedience from us. There would have been great resentment during the time of Christ for someone to approach you on the road and to say, hey, I want you to stop everything you're doing. I don't care which way you're traveling, we're going that way. And all my stuff that I have, you're going to carry it. I don't care if you're a foreigner. I don't care that you don't know me. This is what you're going to do. Christ says to influence others, to have an impact on other people's lives. You do it willingly. And you don't just go that 1 mile. You travel with that man 2 miles. To let him know the type of person that you are and the God that you represent. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you believe in God, you know the difference between right and wrong, you wish to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we could assist you with that this morning. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that is public that you need to make correction of, or if you just want the prayers of the church, if there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come forward while we stand.